Monster Man, Episode 180, Demons, Part 5, and Darrow. Or is it Darrow?
Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games.
In today's episode, we are finally completing the demon section of Monster Manual 2, the 1983 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. And then, we're going to go on and take a look at a monster which has one of the weirdest backstories in gaming. I apologize once again that the sound quality of this episode is maybe not as good as what you're used to. That is because I am on the road and recording not with my usual microphone. Normal service should be restored shortly. Okay, let's start by talking about the Rutterkin. The Rutterkin is the final monster in the Demons section of the D chapter. And the Rutterkin is actually based on a historical, maybe not a historical demon, but is the name of a witch's familiar from the famous Belvoir witches case. And this was a witch trial from the early 17th century. It actually had multiple stages, but I think it ended sort of like 1620 kind of period. And these women were accused of having killed two noble youths by means of witchcraft. And in the trial, Rutterkin came up as the name of one of their familiars. Now, infuriatingly, I have a book about the Belvoir witches at home, but I do not have it with me, so I can't give you too much in the way of the details. I don't know, there's not that much that the Belvoir witchcraft case has to do with the Rutterkin, other than that is the name of a demon in the Belvoir witchcraft case, and it's the name of a demon in D&D. Now, I have read also that Rutterkin may be a dialect word in that part of England that just means, like, a bad-tempered person, which would certainly fit the description of the Rutterkin in AD&D, that Rutterkin are bullies who pick on weaker demons, and the only demons that they really get along with are the Kazmi, who are also jerks. Not that all demons aren't jerks, but you know what I mean. So yeah, the witch's familiar vibe is very consistent with the portrayal of the Rutterkin in this section as cruel, petty bullies. And I think you're definitely going to, you know, I think, again, if you're going to have demons as major antagonists in your campaign, creatures like the Kazmi and the Dretch and the Rutterkin all work as kind of the common or garden demons, and the kind of pettiness of their evil definitely helps keep the excitement when you run into the higher levels, when you're fighting Pazuzu or Frazor Blue or Koschei or whoever. So that's the Rutterkin. Now let's talk about the Darrow. Now, so the Darrow in AD&D are D-E-R-R-O. They are named after what I would normally call the Darrow or Darrows. And if you want to tell me that it's actually pronounced Darrow, then I'm perfectly willing to believe it. The Darrow or Darrows are creatures from the work of a guy called Richard Shaver. Now, Richard Shaver was a science fiction author, of the 1940s. He mostly published in Amazing Stories, although he did publish in other pulp magazines, and then he sort of had a cult following even after he'd stopped doing pulp stuff. And indeed, his beliefs, his theories, continued to have a small following even after his death. Shaver's fame, what came to be known as the Shaver Mystery, began with a letter that he wrote in 1943, in which he said he had found this ancient language which allowed the interpretation of modern languages in secret ways. And this attracted the attention of Amazing Stories editor Ray Palmer, who I think his name is the inspiration for the character of the Atom. The Silver Age Atom is called Ray Palmer, Raymond Palmer. Anyway, Shaver and Palmer got to writing back and forth, and Shaver wrote up this, what he originally said was a piece of nonfiction, but which Palmer effectively published as a series of stories, outlining his belief in these cavern cities under the Earth. They had been built by an extremely advanced human race who had left Earth to go off to other planets, but they had left behind them these creatures, the Darrows, short for detrimental robots. They are called robots, but they're not robots as we would understand them. They're savage primitive brutes, but they're biological. They're not artificial beings. They're also Darrows, who are the good guys, but they are a small minority. Most of these people have devolved into Darrows, while the Darrows, you know, continue to try and I don't know, live up to the whatever's their ancestors. And the Deros live in these underground cave cities, and they kidnap people from the surface world, some to torture or enslave or eat. And they used this ray technology to do all kinds of stuff, like put bad thoughts in your head or cause plane accidents or whatever. If you are familiar with people who have delusions, this idea that there is a, you know, secret race using technology to give them bad thoughts or cause misfortunes in their lives. I mean, this may sound familiar, and a lot of people have theorized that, you know, Shaver was suffering from mental illness and expressing it through this work. Others say that he, you know, was just kind of, that this was all just a work of fiction. Palmer played up the idea that it was all true. I mean, he said that Shaver's stories were works of fiction, but that the setting and the ideas behind them were based on Shaver's actual experiences. And this caused a long-running controversy in Amazing Stories. Some people really loved the Shaver mystery, and some hated it. Eventually, Palmer kind of just dropped it. By the end of the 1940s, Amazing Stories was not publishing Shaver mystery stories, although the ideas continued to live on. And there, you know, there are people to this day who believe in the Shaver mystery, but basically, in the late 1940s, a new alien mythology, the idea of UFOs, came to dominate speculation about this kind of thing, and the Shaver mystery was just kind of forgotten. But it was very, very popular during its heyday, of kind of the mid to late 1940s. Now, obviously, giant cave cities under the earth populated by monstrous creatures who abduct people for sinister purposes and have, you know, what sounds like magic, I mean, that's tailor-made for Dungeons & Dragons. And I assume that that is where the Darrow in AD&D come from. And if you look at the Darrow entry in Monster Manual 2, you'll see that this more or less corresponds to this description of the Darrow given by Shaver, that they live in underground cities, that they have this kind of organized society, that they kidnap people to use them as slaves, that they have all kinds of magic. It even says that rumor has it that some of these people are eaten. So this definitely sounds like Shaver's Darrow. Now, what it doesn't do is give the kind of like 40s-y sci-fi sword and planet vibe to the Darrow. And again, I think that's probably a wise choice. I think the question of how much science fiction your Dungeons & Dragons campaign can handle, that's something that we've talked about in the past, and I think the answer we've come to is it varies, but I do think that the Darrow are a fantastic example of creatures that would sustain that kind of campaign. You know, their premise is such that they can really be anywhere, they prey on the weak and innocent, they're, you know, you would start out, you know, defending surface world threats from the Darrow, and then gradually you kind of make your way down into the depths, maybe even eventually doing one of their cave cities, which would basically be a sort of giant dungeon. So they're definitely a strong campaign premise creature. They remind me a bit of, you know, sort of the classic subterranean adventure stories I've recently had reason to mention, At the Earth's Core, and that's sort of what this stuff reminds me of. But yeah, there's a lot to say about Richard Shaver, much more than I could fit into this episode, but if you just Google him, you'll find some really odd and interesting things. And I've actually got a book about him and Ray Palmer on my Amazon wish list now, just because it all sounds so fascinating and strange. You know, it's a lot of the time, the origins of kind of modern ufological or conspiratorial ideas turn out to be in pulp or science fiction. Jason Colavito has written really interesting stuff about the connection between the kind of Eric von Daniken, Ancient Aliens sort of beliefs and the work of H.P. Lovecraft. I think it's definitely present. Anyway, the Darrow, I think, are pretty great. Although here, I mean, later in this chapter, we're going to get to the Dvergar, and I don't know to what extent the Darrow are redundant with them. I'm not a huge Dvergar fan, but we'll get to it when we get to it. Anyway, I'm sorry this episode is a little shorter and the sound quality is not as good. Like I said, I'm on the road. I'm recording kind of using a mic that's not the one that I have at home, but normal service will be resumed shortly. And in fact, the last episode that you would have listened to at this point would be the special, which I will actually be recording in the future. So that should be a sign that everything is back to normal. In our next episode, we'll be ditching the bad guys and moving on to the good guys, in the form of the Deva. So please join me then on Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening.
If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.